Okay, welcome. My name is Divine. This is episode 181 of the Divine Intervention Life Lessons podcast. In today's podcast, I'm going to be talking about Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Again, I'm going to try to break it down just like we did for Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. And I'll be reading from the King James Version. It says, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." I'm going to read it again. "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." May the Lord bless the reading of his word in our hearts. In the name of Jesus. Amen. So we're going to break this down. What are some key lessons from this verse? Well, the first one says, looking unto Jesus. When you're looking unto something, it means you're focusing on that thing. What are you focusing on? What are you focusing on? Are you focusing your life on Jesus? Or are you focusing your life on the things of the world? Again, your life will ultimately become what you're focusing on. Are you focusing on living your life like Jesus lived his life on earth? Or are you focusing your life on amassing wealth and enjoying the things of the world? Time will tell in the end. I love that verse where Paul says, "This one thing I do, forgetting those things that are behind me, I press on toward the mark of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." The thing is, the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. The thing is, when you're focusing on Jesus, you're following an upward call. You're following an upward call. But the thing is, when you're focusing on the things of the world, you're following a downward call. It may look like you're rising now, but just give it time. Just give it time. So it then says, looking unto Jesus, so that's, you know, first thing I want to discuss here. And then he says, the author and finisher of our faith. So Jesus Christ, the faith we have, he's the author of it. He's the one that created it. And he's the one that finishes it. So that means the only pipeline to heaven, the only pipeline to salvation is through Jesus Christ. There are many times, I mean, you hear a lot of, I mean, that's a good component of the last days. A lot of strange doctrine. People talk about all these ways to salvation, and many of them do not involve a relationship with Jesus Christ. The Bible says, neither is there salvation in any other, but there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we might be saved. So that means it's the name of Jesus that saves. It is Jesus Christ that saves, not your good works, not your fantastic works of righteousness. No. It is Jesus Christ that saves. Not you going through some secret cult program that will save you. It is Jesus Christ that saves. And then the third point that I want to talk about is, who for the joy that was set before him. Notice the joy that Jesus Christ was to enjoy was not present right there. But the Bible says it was set before him. It was part of his future. That's the thing, brethren. You need to realize this. There's a part of the Bible that says that the light of the righteous shines brighter and brighter unto that perfect day. But for you to lay hold of that joy, you have to basically live a lifestyle of delayed gratification in the present. You think it was fun for Jesus Christ to carry his cross? You think it was fun for him to be nailed to the cross? You think it was fun for him to shed his blood? No. But he knew what was coming. That's one thing that this present generation doesn't really understand. This present generation has a very big drive-through mentality. No one is willing to suffer in the present for a greater reward in the future. If you look at the book of Romans chapter 8 verse 18, it says, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." So that means your future in Christ is much better. Heaven is a wonderful place. Look at Moses. Moses, the Bible says in the book of Hebrews chapter 11, that he chose rather to suffer with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a little while. The pleasures of sin are not long-lasting. Yeah, for a little while. One day, just as the book of Proverbs says, it's going to be like gravel in your mouth. So it's always important. Just ask yourself, what are you shooting for? What are you shooting for? Are you enjoying yourself in the present and then mortgaging your future? Like Esau. The Bible says that, you know, he sold his birthright for a morsel of bread. Are you selling your birthright in Christ for a morsel of bread? Are you selling your birthright in Christ for a morsel of bread? Because really, the next point I want to make here just works perfectly with this point, right? Who for the joy that was set before him? So that means this joy was not there. It was a future thing, but he worked towards it, right? Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame? There are certain things in life you have to endure to get a better future ahead of you. That is just the truth. There are certain things you have to endure for you to lay hold of that better future. But you need to endure those things in the first place. Unfortunately, many people are not willing to endure. Many people have that microwave mentality. I want that to be ready right now, right? Like, oh, you know, because issues arise. But the fact that issues arise in things like marriage or whatever, it doesn't mean that, okay, I'm out of here. No, many people these days don't have staying power. But Jesus Christ had staying power. Endurance is staying power. He endured the cross. Long-suffering is one of the fruits of the Spirit. He endured the cross. He despised the shame. Right? He despised the shame. I'm telling you this, on any story to glory, sometimes there will be some endurance. There'll be some shame you have to deal with. Like, I remember this story in the Old Testament of Elisha and the sons of the prophets. When Elijah was going to be taken away, they kept mocking him, literally. They were like, oh, who are you? Do you know your master is going away today? Elisha was like, yeah, I know. Hold your peace. They were mocking him. But those same people that mocked him, when Elisha got what he wanted, they then came and bowed down to him. Elisha was someone that became like a father to kings. At least that's how kings described him. So again, on any glory story, on any glory journey, on any glory endeavor, there's going to be some shame you have to deal with. There's going to be some endurance you have to deal with. But don't worry. One day, those people that were mocking you will all of a sudden think that you're a genius, right? But again, it's the process of time. It's the process of time, right? Because Jesus, after he endured the cross, despised the shame, look at this. He's now set down at the right hand of the throne of God. That's a glorious place to be. But again, the pathway there was not easy. The Bible says, he that endures to the end, the same shall be saved. Enter by the narrow gate, right? Because broad is the way that leads to destruction. Many people take that road. That broad way is the way where you don't have to live a life of holiness. You don't have to live a life of godliness. It's an instant gratification life. You fulfill every fleshly desire you have. But the narrow gates, the narrow way, is a tough road. The Bible says right from the days of John the Baptist, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence and the violent take it by force. So there's going to be tough times in your road as a child of God. But it does not mean that you should abandon God. God will help you. He will give you the grace to live through those periods, but you have to trust in him. There is a glorious future for you at the end, but again, you have to trust God in the present. So the Lord will help you as you do so in the name of Jesus. So again, as I wrap up today, you know, the Bible says, you know, Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. If you don't have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, then you don't have faith in God. So if you want to start off on that journey of having faith, because again, there is no salvation in any other person but God, but Jesus Christ, his son that he sent. I want you to say this prayer after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I come to you today. I confess that I'm a sinner. I need your forgiveness. Have mercy on me. Save my soul. Forgive me of all my sins. Wash me clean in your blood. Come into my life. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. Write my name in the book of life. Give me a brand new beginning. Sanctify me with your blood. Fill me with your sweet Holy Spirit. And give me the grace to do your will all the days of my life. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. And Father, I pray for all of us listening to this podcast, including myself. Give us the grace, Lord, to spend our lives focused on Jesus, because your word says that where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be. Give us the grace, Lord, to live lives of delayed gratification. As we do so, Lord, help us by your grace, because we can't do it in our own strength. But your word says, I can do all things through Christ that gives me strength. So Lord, please give us strength to do these things. And as we do these things, Lord, I pray that we will enjoy your glory in the end. That reward that you have for those. Your word says, he that endures to the end, the same shall be saved. Help us to endure to the end and let us receive your divine salvation. Thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. So for those that gave their lives to Christ, congratulations, you're a child of God. There are three things you need to do. Number one, listen to episodes 96 to 101 on the website. Episodes 96 to 101. It will tell you specific things you can do to grow your relationship with God. It's called the five basic responsibilities of a believer. Number two, find a Bible translation you understand. The New Living Translation is awesome. Read it, meditate on it, do what it says on a daily basis, and you'll see your life take a turn for the better. And then number three, find a Bible-believing church. Not a church, a Bible-believing church. Find a place where you can hear the true, pure, undiluted word of God. There are many places that call themselves churches these days, but they preach things that are completely contrary to the will of God. Or, you know, they try to modify the word to suit the world we live in. No, the Bible says we should not add or subtract from his word. So that's not a place you want to be. So find a Bible-believing church, a place where you can have true, pure fellowship with believers. So if you go to a church, after you hear a message, go back and check scripture. What does the Bible say about this topic? If the church is saying things that are at variance with the word of God, or you notice that they are just so, people make mistakes. But if you notice that, man, so many of these things, like these are fundamental spiritual truths that the word preaches against, and this church is saying, do this, do that, then that's a place you want to walk away from very quickly, very, very quickly. So just do these things and you'll see your life take a turn for the better. Well, until next time, have a wonderful rest of your day. God bless you. Shalom.